The Stranger and Other Drabbles. 3221B Drabbles by Alice Knox.
It was something whispered about in the halls of public boarding schools. How a young boy might befriend an older man and afterward not be interested in girls. Sherlock would never let such a thing happen to him. But when the dark-haired man crawled into his secret hiding place, after the other students had bullied him for the 100th time, he couldn't help but fall into his arms and cry. When he said, "I'll never have a friend," the man objected. "One day," he said, "you will find a man, and you will live together for the rest of your days."
"No, that's not how it works," young Sherlock said. "You marry a girl and have children and send them to boarding school to cry. Men don't live with men."
The man had smiled, stroking the boy's arm, and the next morning he heard a strange humming sound that he had never heard again until now. Sherlock glanced at the time machine in his bedroom. He stepped into it, thinking of the boy he had been and the man that he had become. If Sherlock had never met that man, he would have had a more normal life. Married, had kids, perhaps, but he would never have met John. Sherlock set the coordinates and moved the lever to send him back.
2. People always misunderstood our feelings. I think that's because most people don't really feel at all. It's hard to describe the joy that comes when you find a place where you fit. When you find someone who fits with you, as if you were two parts of the same whole. People talk about it in abstract terms, soulmate, fate, but these words are just that, words. They don't describe anything. It isn't something that can be said in words. It's so much beyond logic. Sherlock and I, we just fit. When I had an idea, it was the right thing to do. When we were faced with a problem, Sherlock was just brilliant. I was always amazed at his genius and gratified that he was pleased with me. I could tell that his appreciation was real, just as he could tell that my admiration was genuine. And so, we always floated in a cloud of acceptance and respect that made us feel like giants. There was honestly nothing that we couldn't do if we were together, not if we set our minds to it. I had never felt that way with anyone else, never, ever. I can't get over the loss of all of the joy that we might have had together. That's why his death is such a blow.
3. For a long time, I waited for someone to find me. But as the years went by, I realized that no one was even looking. Abandoned to darkness, I sat among the trash and detritus of a bygone age. So many things passed me by over the years, evidence of the world changing while I remained the same. Long ago, I had been important, valued, beautiful. But now I was grimy, dirty, and forgotten. I began to think that I would remain here until the end of time, waiting for the cold death of the universe, or perhaps a fiery apocalypse. That at least would end the waiting, to die among the heat, melting away at last to form something new. Suddenly I heard a noise, and I saw a blinding light. Someone had remembered me at last.
"Look, John, exactly where I said it would be."
"All right," John said. "I must concede that was impressive. Who would have known that Mrs. Hudson's wedding ring had been caught in the bend of her sink for 15 years?
"Anyone with a logical mind and a modicum of deductive reasoning could have guessed it," Sherlock said. "It was elementary."
"I suppose that you're happy to get it back," John said.
"Indeed I am," Miss Hudson replied. "I need a new set of bins."
Please leave comments and chamomile tea at fanfiction.net, user Alice Knox.